About 2,000 years before Jesus was born on earth, the Jews were living in Egypt and they were slaves. Their lives were miserable and difficult. They had no rights except for the right to be killed at the whim of their Egyptian masters. And it says they called out to the Lord day and night to rescue them. And so the Lord sent them Moses. And Moses went to Pharaoh and told him to let the people be free to worship God. He wasn't even at first saying, free us from slavery, but just let us go worship our God in the desert. But a strange thing happened that, of course, Pharaoh said no. And then a battle began. And it's easy to miss this in Scripture. We refer to these plagues of Egypt, but make no mistake, each plague was God working his way up the Egyptian hierarchy of gods. They had a hierarchy of gods, and God started with their lowest one, the god of the Nile, and he conquered the Nile. And Pharaoh's response was just to get more angry. And then with each plague, God was moving up the chart of the Egyptian gods. And finally, we're at the end, and now it's no longer about let us go worship in freedom. It's about you need to release all your slaves. These are God's children. It's him you're fighting against. Moses tried to tell Pharaoh, you're not fighting me. You're fighting the Lord. The highest god on the Egyptian pyramid was the one, the oldest son of the god Osiris. And so the Lord told Pharaoh, if you don't let my people go, all the oldest sons in Egypt will die. Pharaoh refused to relent. And so that night, the first Passover happened. The very first Passover. Where God told the Jews, here's what you need to do. You need to each family that can, if you can't afford one, find a family that can and share with them. But get a three-year-old perfect lamb. It can never have had its bones broken. It needs to be without blemish or spot. It needs to be valuable to you. And you need to kill that lamb and sprinkle the blood on your family and then put it on the doorpost of your house. And in the meantime, you cook the meat of that lamb and you get bread ready, but it needs to be unleavened bread because you're going to need to move fast. And so this first Passover happened, that the angel of death descended into Egypt and began killing all the firstborn sons. But when it got to the homes that had blood on the mantle, it said the angel of death passed over them. And in horror and in defeat, Pharaoh said, go. And the Jews were ready. They were packed. They had unleavened bread. They didn't have to wait for it to rise. They had meat from the lambs. And they immediately got out of Egypt. And every year after that, for as long as Judaism will last, Jews will gather and celebrate Passover once a year. And what they believe from the very beginning is when we celebrate Passover in our homes, we're not making a new Passover. We're participating in the first one. That God's hunger for our freedom is eternal. That was not just a moment in human time. That's a moment in the mind of God. So it's always happening. We're not reenacting the Passover. We're participating in the Passover. 2,000 years after that first one, Jesus gathered his disciples together. They had unleavened bread. And they had a pure, perfect lamb right there with them. Jesus himself. And this time there was only one son who was going to die. It was the Son of God. And as he hung on the cross after that meal, the pattern is when it became Sabbath, the Romans would break the legs of the people who were being crucified because then they would die. But it said when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. so they didn't break any of his bones, just like the lamb at the Passover. And not only that, but when they punctured his side with a spear, it said blood and water shot out of him, just like the blood of the families at the first Passover. What we celebrate tonight was that Last Supper of Jesus, which is our Passover. We are not slaves to sin anymore. We are not afraid of the angel of death because we have eternal life in Christ. This is the Passover, and we celebrate it every time we gather here. We're not reenacting the Last Supper. We're not remembering the Last Supper. We're participating in the Last Supper. This is the gift of the Eucharist, that he became the Lamb, that God became the very sacrifice that we needed to reconcile with God. That in the words of St. Paul, while we hated him, he sacrificed himself for us. This Eucharist is the greatest gift of love we will ever know. The fullness of the divinity of God in a little piece of bread, so that we consume him and we become more like him. We receive divine strength in the Eucharist. We remember, I'm free from slavery to sin. If I fall, I go to the cross and my sin is taken from me. And when that moment comes where we take our last breath on earth, the angel of death will pass right over us. And we will be in the promised land with our Lord. When we gather like this to pray Mass, we are at the Last Supper with Christ. And we're not receiving a different Eucharist than the disciples did. There's only one Eucharist, and we're all receiving it. I think of my grandparents, who I knew. I didn't know my great-grandparents, but I understand they were pretty wild people, just as a heads up. They were faithful people. And I'm receiving tonight the same Eucharist they did. You're receiving the same Eucharist tonight that the people, every faithful Catholic who has gone before you for the last 2,000 years of our faith, you are receiving the same Eucharist they did. Not one like it, not a piece of one, not an imitation of it. The Eucharist. We are bound heaven and earth by this mystery. A mystery of love, a mystery of sacrifice. The remarkable thing is that on this night, when the church specifically says the priest needs to preach on the Eucharist, the priest needs to preach on the Mass, you may have noticed in the gospel it's not mentioned. Instead, what's mentioned is that God himself washed feet. That God did the job that Jewish law would not allow Jewish slaves to be required to do. If you were a Jew who had a Jewish slave, you couldn't by law require them to wash feet. That's too lowly of a task. But God did. And John, in the gospel you heard, he wants you to know that Jesus got it, right? He says, fully aware that the Father had put everything in his power, fully aware that he had come from God and was returning to God, he took off his outer garments, tied a towel around his waist, and washed their feet, feet that were about to run away and leave him alone. For us who receive the Eucharist, if we don't let it empower us to serve and to give of ourselves, it will become toxic. It's too strong of a medicine to just let it percolate inside of us. It's supposed to pour out of us. We're supposed to recognize that if that's the dignity I have, that God would wash my feet, If this is the dignity I have, that God would give me himself in the form of bread, then that's the dignity every living, breathing human has. And I owe them my best, not my leftovers. I owe them my sacrifice, my time, my blood, my breath. I am so grateful for the mystery of the Eucharist, for the wonder of a God who made a new covenant with us, a covenant he marked with his own blood. And there need be no more covenants. There is one, and it is unbreakable. It's the one where God says to you, I will give all of me to you in a form you can handle, unleavened bread, and you will give all of yourself in service, both to God and to his people. All of this is required of us. And the best news is, if God requires it, it's not because he's on a power trip. It's because that's where we will find life. That's where we will find wholeness. He who made us knows what makes us tick. And we are at our best when we sacrifice. So tonight, as we prepare to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, as we prepare to walk with him to the garden where he begins to take on the sins of the world, I invite each of us to pray for a deeper love for this mystery of the Eucharist. And I invite each of us also to pray that that love for the Eucharist is not limited to reverence for the Eucharist, but instead is more than that. It is a reverence for the human race for whom God died, a hunger to serve and to give our lives in whatever way the Lord calls us. Amen.
Amen.